Hi there, welcome to this edition of the Arts Roundup. I'm Gerwin Jones and real glad that you could join me. Today I'll be bringing you an overview of historic, contemporary and future cultural events taking place in or emanating from our cultivated island of Cuba. I will be right back. The Havana stage of the International Book Fair of Cuba concluded on Sunday. It was attended by 300 guests from 40 countries. One of the guests was the Vice President of Argentina, Cristina Fernandez. For the first time outside of her country, she presented her book entitled Sincerely, in the presence of the President of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel, and other personalities. The fair, which will now tour the country to end next April in the city of Santiago de Cuba, has as a guest country the Socialist Republic of Vietnam. In fact, it is 60 years since the establishment of diplomatic relations between Cuba and that Indochina nation were finalized. For Radio Vancouver, which provides special coverage to the fair, it is a good time to remember the more than 2,500 programs of The Voice of Vietnam, broadcast in English to the United States from January 1968 to January 1976 by the Cuban International Broadcaster. This was an indication of solidarity with that country and a recognition of the crimes perpetrated by Washington against the Vietnamese nation. During the presentation of her book, the Argentinian vice president praised Cuban medicine and thanked the government and the doctors for the attention they're giving to her daughter, Florencia Kirchner, who has been admitted since March of last year. The fame of the Cuban medicine and the humanity of the doctors of Cuba has been justly earned, Vice President Cristina Fernandez said during the presentation of her book at the main venue of the fair in Havana, the Fort San Carlos de la Cabaña. For 10 days, there were additional venues of the fair in Havana, the headquarters of the Casa de las Americas, the Martian Studies Center, the José Martí National Library, the University of Havana, the Alba House of Culture, and the Dulce María Loynes Center. This year's book fair pays tribute to the research work of the essayist Ana Cairo, National Prize for Social and Humanistic Sciences, and to the legacy of playwright Eugenio Hernández, winner of the National Theatre Award in 2005. The 29th edition, which has 4,000 titles and more than 4 million books, also celebrated the centenary of the birth of the Cuban writer, poet, and essayist Eliseo Diego. Recognized with the National Prize for Literature, his work is one of the most singular and influential in the field of contemporary Cuban poetry, without neglecting his work as an essayist and narrator. He was founder of the Origins magazine and other important Cuban publications, Eliseo Diego. Similarly honored is the 80th birthday of Miguel Barnett, honorary president of the Union of Writers and Artists of Cuba. The National Prizes for Literature, Design, Edition, History, Poetry, Nicholas Guillén, and the novel, short story and essay Alejo Carpentier were also presented. And all this despite the resurgence of the U.S. blockade against Cuba that caused transport effects on the days of the fair, which makes Cuba's effort on behalf of the reading public even more meritorious. Today in the Arts Roundup, we are continuing to look at the rich cultured life in the city and province of Santiago de Cuba. Santiago is undoubtedly an exceptional city in which multiple values are combined that allow the visitor to come into contact with the idiosyncrasy of its people, the culture and history of the place, while enjoying its exotic nature. The modest colonial architecture that characterizes the historic center of the city of Santiago de Cuba interacts with architecture of later periods that has survived countless catastrophes thanks to the materials and technical skills with which it was built. In the city, multiple architectural styles coincide, from the most elementary Baroque to the purified neoclassicist, emphasizing the eclecticism style that constitutes a continuity with the architecture of the colonial age with its large windows and tight balconies. Of special interest are the tree-lined parks and stair streets. The Santiaguera middle class welcomed this eclecticism as a means of externalizing its wealth. The authorities in Santiago pursue architectural conservation of the historic center of this Cuban metropolis, seeking to transform the town into the most splendid place in the Caribbean by means of constructive maintenance and cultural reanimation. There is no doubt that Santiago de Cuba is a city that has a significant architectural patrimony, and it is a necessity to conserve and preserve it. Amongst the outstanding places that still keeps their original architecture, we have the Cathedral Nuestra Señora de la Asunción. April the 28th, 1522, a bull from the Pontiff Alejandro VI transferred to the village of Santiago de Cuba a bishopric, elevating the church to the range of cathedral of the island and religious center of Louisiana and Florida. It conserved the name of Church of the Village of Baracoa Nuestra Señora de la Asunción. The original burned down. The Dominican friar Miguel Ramírez de Salamanca began construction of the new cathedral. This time it was built of stone on the grounds that today occupies the current church, and it was on an elevation that was surrounded by several homes. It was concluded in 1555. And more on the architectural features of Santiago de Cuba in future programs, when we will talk about the Museum Diego Velázquez, the Cemetery Santa Ifigenia, the Castle Moro San Pedro de la Roca, the Museum Emilio Bacardi, the Theatre Heredia, and no less Revolution Square Antonio Maceo. The halls of the National Ballet of Cuba, the BNC, first dancer Vienguese Valdez is currently rehearsing one of the most difficult pieces of the company's repertoire, Theme and Variations, and she's rehearsing with Dani Hernandez. George Balanchine created Theme and Variations for Alicia Alonso in 1947. Apparently, Balanchine did not make it easy for the dancer, and the sessions were often battles. The work was assembled from challenge to challenge. For Vienguese Valdez, as everyone knows, a trial is never taken lightly. She says, "Imagine this, a ballet conceived for Alicia. You have to be up to it. You have to do it very well." Vienguese Valdez is no longer simply one of the first cast figures. She is also now the general director. She had to give this interview on her break, in her dancing shoes, no less. The support of the government, cultural institutions, artists and public has been remarkable. After her recent appointment, she received congratulations from Raul Castro himself. She says, "He saw me dance many times, and the fact that he's taken me into account with his congratulations based on admiration and respect, knowing that perhaps I was the right person, has been a very pleasant surprise and encourages a great commitment on my part. The commitment is based on continuity and renewal. It is clear that ballet is not a museum art. Continuity, of course, implies respect for a historical legacy, but it does not exclude renewal, an evolution, an update of Cuban ballet. I think that without losing our essences, without forgetting our roots, we can and should contribute a lot to the company, to its repertoire, to the daily work in the salons and its result on the stage. There is much that still can be done. Dancers need versatility. It is necessary to develop not only in the great classics of the repertoire, which is what our company has always done. We also need dancers who have a capacity, a wide range of styles that allow them to function with any choreographer in any language. That is vital. You cannot tell us that this company has specialized only in one aspect of dance. Ideally, we should be considered an integral company possessing an international label. A seal, of course, that highlights the whole. It's not about stimulating individualism, but the range, the diversity of styles and expressions. That is what I want to offer the dancers, to complete the technical and artistic development of all of them." In response to the question, "To what extent is it a challenge for you to dance and direct?" Vienguese Valdez said, "I can assure you, it is very difficult. No one can imagine my day-to-day. I dedicate the morning to the physical part, to my training, the improvement, the classes, the rehearsals. In short, my constant improvement as a dancer. But from the afternoon, it's another type of work. It's the administrative part. It's an accumulation of questions. The program, for example, much more now that we are organizing the International Ballet Festival dedicated to our Alicia on her centenary. I start at 8 in the morning and you will find me here at 7 at night. Almost 12 hours. It's strenuous, frankly. Luckily, the next day I can get rid of stress with physical exercise. Dancing is always liberating. I think that I'm at an important moment in my life, in my career, and I'm not going to waste it. I have to exploit it to the fullest, because a dancer's career is short. If I can continue on the stage, I will continue on the stage. For my audience, for those who follow me, I still have a lot to dance. And this according to Vingus A. Valdez, new director of the National Ballet of Cuba. And that's it from me for today on the Arts Roundup. I'm Gerwin Jones.